Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Psalm 107 and the 9th verse. Psalm 107 and verse 9. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. The 107th Psalm and verse 9. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. This is a very sacred and blessed psalm that our text is found in. It speaks so much of the experience of God's dear people, those that have gone before, and those that are yet to be born. I believe every true-born child of God will be drawn to love Psalm 107, because in it is so much reality which a real child of God has to experience. Before looking at the text, I would just remind you that there are in it, in this chapter, in this psalm, some beautiful experiences. Firstly, there's the traveller. And you know, they had to travel here, didn't they? They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. You know, we each are travellers through this world, just like the children of Israel had to travel through the wilderness. The hymn writer said, we are but travellers yet. And where are we travelling to? Well, here, as they travelled, he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. You see, the children of Israel, as they travelled, they had before them a blessed destination. You know, if we seek to travel, looking at it naturally, we travel because we're going somewhere. We've got a destination before us. The world solemnly travel through this world, the ungodly, but they don't realise where they're travelling to unless the Lord opens their blind eyes, and nor do we. You see, the Lord set before them Canaan, the promised land. That's where they would travel to. Might exercise each of our hearts, where are we travelling to? The hymn writer said, concerning it, that there is that blessed destination set before the Lord's dear people. And the land of Canaan, the heavenly Canaan. But as we travel, there are many things we need, aren't there? And it seemed to so rest upon me when this verse came, and it came yesterday morning as I awoke. So often the Lord is a sovereign here. Drop a text in as I wake. And here he dropped this word in. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. And you see, as we travel, we need the Lord's presence with us. And this is what the Lord favoured them with here. And he favoured the children of Israel with it. And you know, it's a vital thing as we travel to have the presence of the Lord with us. Moses desired it, didn't he, when he said, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." And you know, we so often travel, but do we need the Lord's presence with us? But then, as we travel, like if you're going to a destination, and we know with modern technology, the sat-nav is so often used, but I haven't got one and don't intend to get one, but you know, I've always learned to look at the map. And, you know, I was thinking of this, you know, travelling with in the spiritual journey, we have a blessed map in the Word of God directing us where to go, when to stop, when to go forward, whether to turn to the right or to the left. But the vital thing is looking right on, isn't it? If you want guidance and direction or help in travelling, go to the Word of God. We think of the traveller's psalm. The Lord preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. So they were travellers. The second thing, they were prisoners. We read, didn't we? And we read it in the lesson. Bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the counsel of God. And so often we are left to rebelliousness, aren't we? And where does it bring us? Into prison. Into bondage. You see, they were poor sinners, and so are we. We're prone to wander, prone to turn aside, prone to leave the God we love. And where does it bring us? We're prisoners. Prisoners to, in the hands of Satan. Prisoners because of our sin. Bound. You see, a person that's put in prison is bound within those prison walls, or may even be chained in violent cases. And think about it. You know, often we're in prison, aren't we? Oh, we are. Bound, you see. Shut up. And this is where they came to in this psalm. And as they travelled, there were many places they came to where they felt so shut up, bound in affliction and iron. But it tells us why, as I hinted just now, they were rebellious. And if there's one this morning in a rebellious state, where will it bring you? We are told in the Word of God it brings the rebellious dwell in a dry land, a barren land. It's a solemn place, you know. And then there's another thing we want to name, and that is this. They were afflicted people. Or they were. And why did the Lord lay, and why does he affliction on us as we travel? We know as the older we get, the more afflictions seem to abound. But, you know, the Lord has an afflicted people. He said, a poor and afflicted people. And, you know, the Lord's a sovereign. What afflictions we have. Some have deep afflictions of body. And they're continual afflictions. They don't just have them for one day. Many, and there are those of us here that have got afflictions that we will have till we breathe our last breath. They'll be with us to the end. But why were they afflicted? Others were afflicted in their minds. There are those that are afflicted in their circumstances. You see, the Lord's a sovereign. You look at the life of Jacob, he had many afflictions, not only a body. We had that, of course, we have the case of dear old Jacob, where some of the old preachers used to say that he was lame for the rest of his life when his thigh was put out of joint. But you see, afflictions of circumstance in the case of Jacob, you look at the afflictions he had in his family, the troubles he had. They were afflictions to him. Understand the real meaning of affliction in the Word of God means any form of trouble that the child of God comes into is an affliction. They've got to walk through it, you see. And here they had it, didn't they? They were afflicted. They were sick people before the Lord. But then, of course, there are the deeper afflictions. There are the afflictions of soul. And you see, it's only the Lord's dear people that will ever know those type of afflictions. If you were to go out into the world and say, well, I'm so afflicted in my heart because of sin, they wouldn't understand you. Because they don't know the affliction of their own heart, unless the Lord bring it home to them. I was reading, thinking of a lady that came here the other week, the great-granddaughter of Mr. Botting, and we were reading a little bit of his life and experience, thinking of her coming, and you know, as I read it, I thought, you know, wonderful, the Lord brought him into such affliction because of his sin. In his heart, inward affliction. And you see, the Lord saw the affliction the dear man was in, and the Lord was to bring him out of it and blot out all his sin. And he can do that for you, poor son. Afflictions, the hymn writer said, make us see, and they do, how very foul and black are we, but how good the Lord is. He deals with afflicted sinners. You know, when the Saviour came into this earth, you look at the afflictions that he delivered his dear people from. There were those afflicted by Satan. He got them in his grip, but the Lord delivered them from that affliction. There were those who were afflicted in body, weren't they? Such as the woman with the issue of blood and others. And there were those who were afflicted in their minds. But the Lord wonderfully delivered them from them all. But then there's a fourth point here. I don't know why this is laid on me like this, but you see, we read here that they went down to the sea. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in deep waters, they see the wonders of the Lord and his appearings in the deep. They went down to the sea. The hymn writer said, didn't he, the Christian navigates the sea. What various forms of death appear. No skill, alas, or powers he affright the dangerous course to steer. They went down to the sea. They were mariners. And think of it. You know, there are many deep places in the sea that fishermen and those that sail in the sea come into them. And so they did here. But in that sea, they were to see the wonders God alone could do. He raiseth the stormy wind, but he can make the sea calm. And some of you may be wading through things today, and you may say, why have they come? Well, let us pause a moment. Where did it bring them throughout this psalm? In each of the characters and places that we've named, the travellers, those feel bound and shut up in prison, those that are in affliction, sick characters, those in the depths of the sea, where did it bring them? Where does it bring us? Well, throughout this psalm, he tells, the Holy Spirit tells us, the Lord has left it on record. Then, in those things, what did they do? They cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And he delivered them out of their distresses. The wonderful mercy was this. They had a God in heaven whom they served, they could go to in it all. And it seems to so rest upon me in coming in this morning. You see, the watchful eye of the Lord was upon them in it all. We sing in the hymn, don't we? He sees us when we see not him, and always hears our cry. The watchful eye of the Lord. Oh, his watchful eye is upon you in all that you're in, whether you're travelling, whether you're bound and shut up, whether you're in affliction, whether you're navigating a dangerous course. His watchful eye, you see, they cried unto the Lord. There's the answer to it all, isn't it? He didn't bring them into these things by chance, you know. It was all for their souls' divine teaching and for the honour and glory of God. Well, it was. You know, it's a wonderful thing, and we can, and may we desire it, that we might be profited by these things. You see, the psalm closes with that beautiful verse, doesn't it? Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. And you see, that's the conclusion of all that they had to go through. They were to be made in it wise unto salvation, wise to their standing before a holy God, wise to their condition. And secondly, they were to observe these things. They were to look on and see the Lord's hand in them. Even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. And may you sweetly feel in all what you may be in today, whatever of those four things I've named, or it may be something else, that his loving kindness is in it all. It's a lovely hymn, isn't it? Very sacred hymn to me, that ninth hymn. His loving kindness, oh how great. you sing it or read it when you get home. It's full of reality, isn't it? His loving kindness. And you say, when you can see love inscribed in it all, that'll take the bitter out of it all, it will. The hymn writer said, and you, Mr. Cowper, knew what it was to experience it. His purposes will ripen fast, unfold in every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. And this is what they proved through this psalm, didn't they? They went right down into the depths. And what did he do? They cried unto the Lord, and then he brought them up out of it all. But the second thing that these things brought them to was this. When the Lord appeared for them, what could they do? We read so many times in this psalm, they could truly praise his holy name. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. They got something to praise him for, hadn't they? I was thinking this morning, you know, have we not got reason to praise the Lord in things? Personally, each of us. I was thinking of that word, you know, Paul wrote to the Thessalonican church, and he said this, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. You may say, well, even for the bitter things, the trying things, the things that we have to suffer, in everything. And when the apostle said that, he meant it. In everything give thanks. And then he endorses it with the most divine authority it could ever be endorsed with. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The will of God. And oh, to have that sweet submission as I tried to pray in prayer, to be submissive to his will. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So think of the watchful eye of the Lord upon them here, and may we know how watchful is the loving Lord. How kind is providential word. Very sacred hymn that, isn't it? It's recorded on the very hairs of our head being numbered. But I want to come to this text. For he satisfieth the longing soul. Well, there are three vital things here in this first clause. For he satisfieth the longing soul. The first, excuse me. Is, have we a longing soul in us? Are there those things, I don't mean natural things, there's many things naturally that our old nature would long for. But it doesn't speak of what our carnal mind longs for, or what our old nature longs for. It speaks of a longing soul that is deep within the child of God. Longing. There'll be those longings in your heart, given by the Lord. That's the first thing. The second thing is this. There's the satisfying of this longing soul. You know, it's a wonderful thing when we're satisfied, isn't it? And it is upon, and then the third thing is this. Who is it that satisfies this longing soul? Well, it's the Lord himself. No other can satisfy the longing soul. Now look at the first point first, just briefly. Have we a real longing in our heart? Do we long to know that we are among his dear children, that we are born again? The Lord puts these longings in the souls of his people. Oh, he does. They long to be right. They long to be found in that narrow way. They long for the assurance that he has redeemed them, that they're his. Well, let us look at a few of these longings. Do we long for our sins to be forgiven or put away? You look in your heart and mine, you see every one of us here is standing or sitting before the Lord exactly as we are. And he sees, and think of the watchfulness of the Lord, he sees in you those longings that you have. No man may see them. It may reflect through in our countenance and how we are, may be seen by the God, but the Lord sees exactly the longing we have. Do you long like Ruth did to be among his dear people? As the hymn writer said, with them numbered may I be now and through eternity. And you see, these real spiritual longings, the Lord gives them to his dear people. They're the gift of heaven, where there are many that he passes by, but he gives them to his dear children, for he satisfieth the longing soul. So there's this wonderful prospect, if these longings are real and of heaven in your poor heart, and this is what you'll want to know, you want the Lord to satisfy that longing by granting it to you. Well, let us use a natural illustration. You think of a little babe soon after it is born that cries and it soon becomes hungry. It's got a longing for milk, for the mother's breast. It longs, and as soon as it is fed, what happens? It goes to sleep. It's satisfied. And oh, how a dear mother loves to see that little babe asleep, satisfied, you see, filled. And there's that in nature, so in grace. And it is only the Lord that can satisfy this longing soul. Just as the mother can satisfy her little babe. So do we long that he will forgive all our sins, blot out all our transgressions. And then do we long for the Lord to reveal himself to us. I love that hymn where the hymn writer said, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. It's not the longing of the world, is it? Or the ungodly. But it's the longing of the child of God. to have a precious Jesus revealed to them. You think of Thomas, when the Lord revealed himself to Thomas as a risen Saviour and showed him, and I speak it with much reverence, those pierced hands that were nailed to Calvary's tree, and then his pierced side. And what did Thomas say as the Lord revealed it to him? His longing was to know this was the risen Saviour. My Lord and my God. And that's what you're about to say, and you'll be satisfied. Wonderful thing to be satisfied. For he satisfieth the longing soul. And then there may be those of you longing for him to speak to you. You long to hear his voice. I know many of God's dear children have had to say, Lord, do speak. We long to hear thy voice. Dear Mary Magdalene did, you know, when the Lord spoke to her, didn't he? Mary. She knew that voice, you know. The old preachers used to say, if you've ever once heard the voice of the dear Redeemer, you'll know the voice again. Oh, you will. When he speaks. But do we long? This is the vital point. And you see, the only reason we can long in our souls is if the Lord gives us life. Because if we are dead in trespasses and sin, we can never long because there's no life in us. Little babe, and I speak it lovingly and reverently, that is born dead, you know, it can never long for the breast. Why? Because there's no life. And that's how we are by nature. What a mercy if the Lord has given us a real longing for the things of God, for his ways, for his word. And one's mind goes to the dear psalmist in Psalm 84. Dear David, what does he say? My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. You know, do you long to go to the house of God to hear what the Lord will speak? You know, the world have no desire for it, have they? Wonderful thing, you know, if the Lord put in the hearts of many today and all the solemn things taking place in the nation, that there may be many longing for the courts of the Lord. And you think how many used to walk miles to hear the truth, because there was such a longing in them, which only the Lord could satisfy. For David, he longed for the courts of the Lord. Yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart cry and my flesh crieth out for the living God. For he satisfieth the longing soul. And then you long to be directed in his ways, long to walk in his commandments. And oh, you know, it's sweet to look back, those of us who ventured in days past, you know, many years now, and how we used to go up longing for the Lord to tell us what to do, to speak to us. And you know, it didn't matter where we went, the Lord wonderfully confirmed it. We did. Satisfied us. Wonderful thing to be satisfied, isn't it? Of course, the fullness of this satisfaction will be with the child of God when they're in glory. They won't really be satisfied in the fullness of it until they're landed home in glory. I shall be satisfied, the dear psalmist said, when I awake in thy likeness. We think of that wonderful blessing of Naphtali. And what do we read? Satisfied with favour and full of the blessing of the Lord. Possess thou the west and the south. Do you know what it is when the Lord satisfies you? He gives you a word from himself, or token for good, a visit from Zion's King, and you're satisfied. Satisfied with favour. And what was that favour? It's the Lord being with him. The Lord making himself known to him. Satisfied with favour. And full of the blessing of the Lord. For he satisfieth the longing soul. We think too of the dear psalmist, both in Psalm 90 and in 91. In Psalm 90 he says this, "Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days." Oh, satisfy us early. Is that your longing? And then in Psalm 91 he says, the Lord speaking, "With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." Oh, how sweet it is when we're satisfied. You know, it may be when the text is announced and the Lord so applies it to you and your soul is satisfied. It's a beautiful place and sacred place to be in, isn't it? When we're satisfied. Well, just a brief word then, I must leave it. On that third point, and I shall have to leave it for your meditation, but he says here, for he, who is it? He. That seemed to so stand out to me when this text, for he satisfieth the Lord himself, and you see he has all power to satisfy his dear people. Oh, he has all power to satisfy them. And when the Lord satisfies his dear people, they will be satisfied. If you were to give them all the world, it would mean nothing to them. It's none but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness in glory. Amen.